basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here.
Hey, look who's back. The long-lost son. The Jeff Goodman Show is brought to you by Prize Picks, exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Jeff, welcome back. I give you a hug over Zoom.
Good to see you guys. I miss you guys.
Good to see you too. All right, we got to get going here. Bob and I have been, we've been kind of nervous with the Celtics. We've had too much time in our hands, quite frankly.
Why? Nervous?
Well, you know, they don't finish strong. I'm wondering about, you know, they go in with the wrong attitude. I know they play the winner of the Heat, one of Jimmy Butler, and the Heat and the Bulls. So it should be an easy opening round.
Yeah, that's the only worry, right? The only worry is it looks too easy. And it looks like an easy sweep for the Celtics. My guess is it ends up being 4-1. You know, maybe they took their foot off the gas in one of these games. And I would think the Bulls win this, but who knows? And the Bulls have been playing well. They really have. Actually, Billy Donovan's done a great job with this team without a true point guard. Imagine if this team ever had a healthy Lonzo Ball. But I just think, listen, the road for the Celtics looks so easy right now to the NBA Finals. And I know that may be taboo to say, and Bob's probably looking at me like, you know, like I've done this long enough. Don't say that. But Giannis is not Giannis right now. He's hurt. The Knicks are the 2 seed. They don't have Julius Randle, and I'm not scared of the Knicks. No offense. It looks easy. It looks like a cakewalk to get to the NBA Finals for the Celtics.
You dismissing Philly?
Yes. After watching Joel Embiid, you look healthier walking around the court than Joel Embiid did. You look more agile.
Yeah. Well, no. If he's in that case, that state, then yes, they're not going to be a major threat. No, I just don't trust them yet. I want to see it. I want to see them kick ass against the weak guys and leave no prisoners. That's number one. You know, that those two Atlanta games bothered me, you know, that way back when. And I want to see, once we get to the more, you know, to the tougher opponents, how Coach Mazzulla handles his new weapon that he has this year that he didn't have last year. And namely, you know, the 7'3" Latvian. And I want him utilized properly, and I'm not sure he will be. That's all.
The thing that worries me is the final 2 minutes of a close game.
And then we got that too.
You know, Bob and I talked about that a lot, Jeff. Because quite frankly, Jeff, the Celtics, as soon as they clinched, Bob and I were really working hard to come up with something. But it's true. It's the final 2 minutes of a game. You know, for me, that's the one but it's a 7-game series, you know, so I mean.
But okay, let me talk you off the ledge here. They now have a point guard who makes quality decisions.
Give him the ball.
Right. Agreed.
Thank you.
Yes, but, the last guy, that played that position for the Celtics was a disaster.
Right.
You never knew what you were going to get, and they would leave him open and pray that he was the one taking the shot with the game on the line. You don't worry about Jrue Holiday in that capacity. He's going to move the ball. He's going to make the right decision. So is Derek White. Jaylen Brown is still playing the best basketball of his career on both ends of the court. And yes, Jason Tatum has to make the right play. Generally, I think he's proven he's willing to do that. I don't know, guys. I just think you're fighting for things right now, as you said, because there hasn't been a lot to talk about with this team. But I think in the playoffs, you're going to see this team play the right way because, frankly, they've got adults on the court now and in the locker room. You've got a coach who's now not in his first year. Now, he's still got a lot to prove. Because if they bow out early in the playoffs, Joe Mazzulla's done. I don't care what he did in the regular season. It doesn't matter, but I don't expect that. I expect them to get at least to the Eastern Conference Finals and in all likelihood get to the NBA Finals this year.
Here's a new thing that's happened, we haven't discussed this necessarily specifically, given what we saw from Peyton Pritchard when he was spotlighted, does this affect change the big picture any about how he will and how often he will be used in the playoffs?
Matchup wise, it'll depend on matchup spot. Okay. I think more than anything,
that's fair.
The beauty is you can play him. And again, you know what you're going to get out of Peyton Pritchard now. I'm not sure you could have said that the last year or so. I think you kind of know what you're going to get out of him. He knows his role, and Mazzulla's clearly established his role. And Hauser, same thing. Like, hey, you've got confidence now. When Sam Hauser goes in there, you know what he's in there to do. And now he's not a disaster like people thought he'd be on the defensive end when he came into the league.
Yeah. No. I mean, they have the best 1-5 talent-wise. They've got the best 1-6, 7, 8, 9, right down to 10 with Tillman.
I love Tillman.
They have the best roster. And wouldn't you think any coach in the league would trade his roster for that roster and say, let me work with them and I'll do my thing. So it's that's pressure. I mean, they're the best TEAM, but they have to go do it. They got to go play basketball and in certain circumstances and better than they've shown in the past. But this is it. They got to do it with this team right now.
Should the Knicks Sixers series, Bob, should that be enjoyable?
Well, once again, the Embiid factor, you know, they're building it and the New York Post is building it as Embiid versus Brunson, the 7-footer versus the 6'1" or whatever he is. And, but Brunson's had I think it's worth talking about what a wonderful year he's had and how he's emerged as one of the bright stars in the NBA and a worthy guy. And we're all, nothing not to like about Jalen Brunson. You know, we know that. So anyway, I think the Knicks will win that series without Randall. They got Anunoby back, and that's important, very important. And one thing we learned this year is that when Mitchell Robinson went down, they were, oh my God, guess what? Hartenstein's played pretty well for them, and they're not hurting. They're not. Of course, he's not Joel Embiid, but I'm just saying. But he gives them what they need. Now and Thibodeau can coach. We know, and they'll go out. They'll go down. Whenever they go down, if it's to us, quote unquote, they'll get on hard. They'll be a quality opponent.
I generally, just as a fan, I've always hated the Knicks, but I have to say I have a little affection for this team because I do like Brunson and I like Tibbs. I like
and
the Knicks here.
The whole Villanova connection. I mean, Hart's such a cerebral player, and Dante DiVincenzo, was a big, a legitimate candidate for most improved player.
And the only problem is the uniform. That's I just don't like. You know what I mean? Before we move on to the West, do you guys have anything else in the East you want to cover? I mean, you mentioned the Freak being hurt.
Yeah. You know what I want to mention? The job that Paolo Banchero has done to get Orlando to the number 5 seed in his second year is insane. Okay. Insane. I knew Paolo was going to be good.
Yeah.
First time I saw him was at a USA basketball event in Colorado Springs. I think he had just finished his sophomore year in high school, and I'm like, this is like Chris Webber. That's what I felt like when I first saw him, and I continue to kind of say that he wasn't quite as big and strong. I think I've made that comparison. At that time, he wasn't as, but he is. He's a beast. And again, we could talk about like what Oklahoma City's done. It's taken them a little bit of time, and they've got a great core. But Paolo, in year two, to flip this franchise like he's been able to do. And the beauty in the East is you can do it because you've got some garbage teams at the bottom of the East right now. I mean, absolute garbage. So you don't even have to be that good to make the playoffs anymore, especially when you include, if you're going to count playoffs as play-in.
Right.
It's not very hard now. It's not very hard.
Do we like the play-in?
I don't know.
Because I look at Atlanta and I go, Atlanta shouldn't have a shot at the playoffs. Right. You know what I mean? I don't know. Bob, what do you think?
No, I don't like it at all. It's totally unnecessary as far as I'm concerned. And for me, certainly for me, it is. And I mean, I don't like it. No, period. I just, apparently Adam Silver's obsession with European soccer has got something to do with this. But I don't
know. It's just more money. I mean, it's another thing that they
need. And more interest. Hey, they've gotten games with Steph Curry in. and LeBron when they wouldn't have.
Right.
I mean,
true. You know, then on the other side is you want to say, well, okay, you should be able to make the top eight, you know? So it's, I get it. I'm like, eh, but we understand why they're doing it.
Prize Picks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get out of the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists. And for his teammate, Jaylen Brown, to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
All right, let's get to the West because, Jeff, you brought up a good thing. You went, you know, do you blow up the Warriors now that they're out?
Well, I mean, Clay's gone. I mean, we got it. Like, honestly, Clay should be gone. He had a horrible last game. Obviously, we give him so much credit for coming back from major injuries like he has, but you can see the writing on the wall now. And I just wonder if he'll retire or try to hang on and go somewhere else. I kind of hope he retires at this point and goes out. You know, I don't know if it's the right way because that final game was a disaster, but his contract's up. You know, they got a couple more years of Steph. They got Draymond on the books. They got some young guys like Kuminga showed some promise this year, which surprised me. Trayce Jackson-Davis. Gotcha. They got to do something, though. I mean, they got to get another dude. If Clay leaves, they got to find a way. If you're going to keep this core together, I might just say, you know what? It's time to move Draymond, too. I just don't know if you're going to get enough value to move him.
You know, Steve Kerr is officially on record as saying he wants them to keep them all, including Clay, and wants them to retire as Warriors and be lifetime Warriors. I'm just saying that's his public stance. Right. Don't ask me what he's saying behind the doors.
As long as Clay retires as a Warrior today.
Yeah, well, you know, now Clay did play better near the end, right? And then he had that until he hit that the wall in that final game, that disastrous 0-for-10, but he actually did play better in the last brief weeks or a month than he, and you started thinking, well,
he's,
you know,
34, but he's 34 and he looks like he's like 39 most days.
No. So, but they're not, now they're, they have a, they're in a crisis mode, but they did the, but you mentioned those two guys, the kids, Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis. That is exactly what people were saying they had to do, was find some young blood that, and they look pretty legitimate, you know, the two of them. I like Dave. I like Davis, Jack and Davis in college. I never saw Kuminga, of course, but Kuminga's come on.
He didn't play in college. He didn't play in college. He went straight to
the league. Yeah, right. So I never had no idea.
I saw him on the circuit. I saw him on the AU circuit, and I did not. He was highly ranked, but I didn't love him. Mm-hmm. And you know, but the great thing, if you're in Golden State and you're a young kid, what are you going to do? You're going to learn, right? I mean, you are going to learn how to do it the right way watching – the combination of Steph, Clay, and Draymond. Like, they're very different, but they're going to work, and they're going to work the right way. Now, Draymond's crazy, we know, on the court, but, like, the dude is still a worker, and he's going to hold people accountable. The one who has always bewildered me is Andrew Wiggins. Always. From the first moment I saw him, I'm just like, there's something missing. This dude should be a top 5 player in the NBA talent-wise. And he just plays to the level of his competition. He had a great year a couple of years ago with Golden State after he was traded. And obviously some things have happened to him personally as well. But he looks like an ordinary player.
Matched that playoff series since then.
Yeah.
He hasn't.
It's been okay.
He teased people with that. And they just think we really have something. You're right. We thought we really had something there. And they've gotten just meh. You know, so it's always been. Yeah. Yep.
That's him.
Bob, your thoughts on the Lakers and Denver, that matchup?
Well, it's interesting, of course, that Denver has won the last 8 matchups and games, and LeBron is, of course, properly so, is dismissing that as that's his ancient history. He doesn't have to do it with what's going to happen, you know, and when we play them now. But You'd certainly be surprised if the Lakers beat them. I mean, I expect Denver to win. I still think Denver is the favorite for everything until we prove otherwise. And there won't be. It'll be maybe a decent six, maybe something like that. And the Lakers have their moments, I must say. You know, they do have their moments. And Davis, when he's in there and he's healthy, on the given night that he's healthy, you know, as opposed right. to tomorrow or the day after or yesterday, you never know what state you're going to get him in. But he has reminded us on many occasions this year how great he is when he's ready to go. And he's a force. He's a terrific force.
If you're Bob, if you're drafting players off this series, obviously Jokic is number one. Aren't you then taking Davis and LeBron as, don't they have the second and third best players on the court every night or no?
Well, and you know, Murray.
Yeah.
Murray is you could throw him in there, but basically, yes, LeBron is still, I mean, a marvel, you know, you know, it just don't even think of him as being 39 when the game starts. So
it's just amazing to have LeBron on a team and be the underdog. I mean, I need to get used to it.
It's a big underdog.
So weird.
You know, the underdog. You know, the key for me is like, will D'Angelo Russell show up and be consistent? If he does, you got a third guy, and that takes some of the pressure off of LeBron and Anthony Davis. But Russell and Reeves are both a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah, but Reeves, you know, I'm still one of the great phenomenon is how Reeves emerged in those playoffs last year, and it really turned himself into a nice NBA player. But I expect them. But my only question, my big question in the West, not big question, but the question in the West is this X factor team to me is Phoenix. And you know, whether those big three, you know, get it, play up to the level they can. And if they do, then they're, you know.
Well, you know, that's an interesting one, Bob, because the Wolves and the Suns, that is a true changing of the guard moment, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
If the Wolves come in and then, and take care of business, that you go, you sit back a couple, you go, I remember when, you know, the Wolves showed up and they became a man, you know, or they grew up.
Yeah, no, that's a good, it's interesting. I think that's a very good way of putting it. And I had my eye on that series for that reason. And that's true. But I mean, I'm just curious to see what we, you know, what's going to happen with Phoenix. Beal, you know, it took a long time, but it seemed to settle in. And, you know, Booker is a Olympian. Let's remember as well. There have been some controversy about that in New York about Brunson not getting picked, but Phoenix is curious to me. They got a chance to silence a lot of people. We'll see if they can do it. So,
aren't all these Western Conference matchups more intriguing than all the Eastern Conference?
Oh, there's no doubt. Oh, Oh, God, yeah.
Like, is there one Eastern Conference matchup that you're like? Like, to me, all the Western Conference matchups are like the Lakers.
Yeah,
Nuggets.
I mean, I just like, you know, I like Tibbs. So, like, to me, I always like Tibbs. So, like, the Knicks game is a little interesting to me. But it's not more compelling. The Lakers, you know, this is it. You know, LeBron, to me. Like, LeBron, you know, how are you going to go out? Now, Denver should win it. But, you know, LeBron's going to go. I would love to see Denver's going to win it. And they should. But I would love to see LeBron go out with, like, 40 a game. You know, like, just go on a blaze of glory to me. The Wolves and the Sun, I think, is the most intriguing one because of what Bob said. I mean, this is like the changing of the guard. We've been hearing about Minnesota forever, right? So this is, are they going to knock the old guys off the perch? That's the most fascinating series, to jump on what Bob said, out of the whole thing right now, I think.
So yeah, what do we make of OKC in general?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it, you know, depending on how the bracket comes, it comes down to them in Denver, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think
OKC, were you a regular season deal or like, can you actually do this in the playoffs when it matters?
Well, that's the key. And that's the same thing with Minnesota, you know,
right.
Both of those teams, are they ready for prime time?
Yes. Yes. And then the Clippers Mavs, like Kawhi, are you healthy? Like, right. And whoever wins that one gets an Oklahoma City team that nobody trusts yet. No. So, like, you're going to look at that as, like, all right, like, whoever comes out of there is going to have some pop to where we're going to be talking about them legitimately. Can they beat Oklahoma City, especially if it's Dallas with Luka and Kyrie? Like, you don't want to see that.
Dallas has sneaked up on the rail. to be a problem when people were paying so much attention to so many other compelling stories in the West, you know, with the two young teams and the Lakers and this the Warriors and the Lakers and the Suns. And Dallas was quietly winning some ball games. And Kyrie, you know, he's a guaranteed 20, and he's a 40 waiting to happen any night. He's so aggravating to have in the mix personally, but the guy can play. The guy has always, you know,
we've never denied that, have we?
No, never. Sir. He can go to the basket as well as any guard his size has ever gone to the basket.
Well, they are the sleeper. I mean, Mavs are the sleeper. There's no doubt.
Yeah, so we got lots of intriguing
in the West. I mean, we're going to be up late taking naps, boys. The West is the way to go. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, there's just. No
I think the East, gets interesting in the next round. I don't think there are going to be a lot of great, you know, intriguing.
No,
really.
But, you know, I'm just bummed out that Embiid can never be healthy. Like,
and Giannis right now.
Giannis, right, but like I'm just an Embiid guy, and I long for the days of Boston, New York, Philly. I mean, I just like want to – the fact that the Celtics have like defeated the Sixers like how many times in a row? Like a gazillion, right? I would just – you know, I want the Celtics to win, but I would just love a knockdown, dragout Boston, Philly seven-game series would be awesome.
Yeah,
and it's just not going to happen, you know?
There's one more – significant injury we got to discuss because it just never ends. Zion. The way that happened to him, dunking, getting his 39th and 40th points, and then heading right to the locker room. And it just never ends. When he's out there, he gave the full glimpse of where he can be, but he's just not, that body just keeps betraying him in one way or the other.
That game literally encapsulated what's going to be Zion's career, unfortunately. Yeah. I really believe that. I've said that since he walked in the league. Like, if this dude's healthy, he's a problem, and he's going to be a problem. But, you know, and I remember, I think I said this when they were both coming in the league, right, Zion and Chet. Like, are they going to stay healthy?
Yeah.
Different reasons, different body builds.
Totally different reasons.
Yeah.
But that was a shame because we'll never know how that game would have come out. And you know they had momentum. They had come from 18 down, and they were the crowd was, you know, was going crazy, and then the deflation like that. God, you know, it's too bad. You feel bad. What can he do? I mean, that's his body, and he's lost weight. He's done everything he can, but you know he's brings a body type that has never really had great longevity in this league.
It is a shame because he's a terrific player to watch. We got Bob's take on Michael Cooper in the Hall. Some great stuff on CLNS Media with Bob and Michael responding to Bob's kind words. And so where do you fall on the Cooper fandom, Jeff?
All right, so I'll give you a story. Michael Cooper and James Worthy were the first two players I ever interviewed. Ever. I was like 15, 16 years old. I was in high school and I went down to the Marriott Copley where they were staying that day, me and a buddy of mine. And we asked them if we could interview him for our
Metro High West Daily News.
No, it was our high school newspaper. And we didn't even do anything for our high school newspaper. We basically just lied to him and said we were doing something for our high school newspaper. So both of them said, yeah, call us later tonight. Call us later tonight. I think they just gotten back from shoot around or practice the day before the game. They were playing the Celtics the next night. So we called them both and literally we wrote down a bunch of dumb questions. You know, who was your idol when you were younger? I don't know. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. And my voice hadn't even changed. I mean, I sounded like a girl. And both of these guys, and I'll be forever indebted. I had a chance to tell James Worthy this a few years ago. I saw him in the locker room somewhere, might have been a North Carolina game or something. And I tried to find Michael Cooper at the Final Four and I couldn't find him to kind of remind him of the story of how nice. I mean, think about it, I'm 15 years old and they take their time to do that with two 15 year old kids. It was really cool. Michael Cooper, like again, and as good a defender as you're ever going to see, like forget about what I'm talking about off the court, he was an unbelievable human being. But, like, on the court, that guy did not get enough credit although now he's obviously in the Hall of Fame for what he did team wise. Like he could have went somewhere, probably doubled his scoring output if he wanted to, but he bought into his role, which was to be the best damn defender there was and lock dudes down. And he was unbelievable.
And he made a lot of timely 3-point baskets. Let me tell you, I can still see them against the Celtics in that game 4 in 87, when they were down 15 and they got back into the game, and he stuck a 3 right in front of my face. I can see it now, that tied the game at the 20. You know, it's such a word. I'm so happy for him. You know, I got to meet him and talk to him in January, and in conjunction with the Larry Bird Museum, you know, to have him accounted for. And he was happy to do it. And this is just such a bonus. And his teammates speak so highly of him. Kareem and Magic are both over the moon, happy about this. And I think that's really telling. Yeah.
Jeff, as we wrap it up, got a few minutes here. Just give us you finally have a life back, but your thoughts on the men's and women's tournament, and with the women's, obviously, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the men's, and just UConn, Dan Hurley going back to back is incredible, because when he took the job, he left Rhode Island, goes to UConn. Remember, they're in the American Athletic Conference, and they can't get players. And what changed everything was going to the Big East, getting back in the Big East for UConn. He could recruit at a high level. He did that. He is an absolute workhorse, and he's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. I don't know how well crazy either of you know him, but I've known him for 20 plus years. We didn't talk for like 4 months last year. We didn't talk because I called him out on his behavior against the referees. And he mellowed for the most part until the championship game. And then I think he admitted again, they kind of got the best of him, and he was out of his mind with the refs again. But man, what he's done there is insane, to be able to flip it like he did in this era, when you have NIL and you have the transfer portal and you have social media and you have all this, to be able to do what he's done. And we'll see if they can kind of get in position for a three-peat, which I'm not betting against them.
Well, they're going to have to work. He's going to have to work his magic again, because now Caravan is coming out. Alex Caravan's coming out, and Klingon's coming out. Although they're retaining their
amateur rights.
Retain their option. Yeah. So well, they're not Klingon's 100%.
Klingon's gone for sure. Castle's gone for sure. Newton's gone for sure. He graduated.
But this is the whole
starting five is gone. Cam Spencer doesn't have any eligibility left. So Caravan was the one guy that could still potentially come back if he doesn't like his draft stock. But they're going to have to flip this thing even more than they did this past season.
I think we can agree on one thing, and that both cases, the men and the women, there is no doubt in either case that the best team won. Right. That the team that should have won, that did, they got the job done, the undefeated women of South Carolina and the UConn team that just – destroyed people down the stretch, starting with the Big East tournament. You know, I mean, just once again, and nobody can question their validity. That's for sure. That the best teams won.
Hey, May 14th, go to Mohegan Sun. I already bought tickets. I was smart enough to do it early and got them fairly cheap.
Caitlin's debut.
Caitlin Clark plays at Mohegan Sun.
Oh, yeah. May 14th.
Yes. So, I'm taking my parents as well. We're going to have dinner. My daughter will probably be covering it, I would assume. She's covering the Indiana Fever this summer.
Oh, yes, right, Indiana, yes.
So
awesome. How fortuitous that is.
Yeah.
Do you guys see the Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I saw clips of it. It was great.
I mean, her presence is, she's the entire package. She can deal with this, you know. It's not overwhelming for her, the celebrity, the thing, the fact that she's already a cultural icon and not just a basketball player. Okay, I'm all right.
It was great. And like you say, cultural icon, and hopefully it continues for the game.
Yeah.
Hopefully they pick up where they left off, where she left off.
It's just remarkable that, and once again, just yesterday, I had a reprise of something that I pointed out to you guys about a month ago. And that was, it happened in the same spontaneous way. Three or four guys, middle-aged white guys, talking about women's basketball. And one of them said, this is the first year that when they had their draft, I knew who some of the people were.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it's just, and it is her. She's shed the light. She just shed this giant spotlight on the sport. So now people can discover other things, you know, other players that they should have known, and or remind people about how great some of the players were. And how about her citing Maya Moore as her model? So it's astonishing what she's been able to do. And I just hope that they can build on it the way, you know, that properly.
I hope they can too. All right, guys, we'll talk again next week. Jeff, it's good to see your lovely face.
Thank you.
All right, for Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, I'm Gary Tangway. Brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks.